Thank you so much for listening. For more information about Ebenezer Church, visit us online at ebenezerpbc.org.
We have spent the last 4 weeks going over the creation of heaven and earth and all things therein. And we're going to start today in chapter 3. And I hope to talk about the creation of Lucifer. I use the name Lucifer because the Bible does. God did not create Satan. God did not create an adversary. God created Lucifer. Lucifer means bright and shining. And you can take that and think about it, because if sin was ugly, we wouldn't touch it. But it's beautiful to the eyes of flesh, and it's very dangerous and deadly. We may get into more of the text, but that's the main thought of my mind this morning. I used this text about 1994 at Grants Mill Church, first time I tried to preach it, and I asked for the Lord's blessings today, hopefully. We began chapter 3 of Genesis. It begins, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made." Now we know as we get into this, the serpent's going to beguile Eve. This is not a new story to anybody. We've been taught this our whole life. But I want to dwell on for a little while the serpent. If we turn to Job 26, and we covered this a few weeks ago, speaking of the God who created everything out of nothing, hung the north on the empty place, bound up the waters, the clouds, compassed the waters with bounds until the day and night come to an end. The pillars of heaven tremble and are astonished at his reproof. Job 26, verse 12, "He divided the sea with his power, and by his understanding he smiteth through the proud." And then verse 13, we pick up part of our text. "By his spirit he hath garnished the heavens, his hand hath formed the crooked serpent." Genesis chapter 3 teaches us the serpent was more subtle than any beast which the Lord God had made. The serpent itself is not the devil. The serpent itself in the garden was just that, a serpent. Now, some people take from this that when we get through with this chapter, that the serpent at one time had legs. The Bible does not say that, and I'm not going to tell you that because I do not know. Some say the serpent would travel on his stomach with his breast and head upright. Some do even still do that today, but I'm not going to tell you that because the Bible does not teach us that. What it does teach is that Satan, called a serpent, spoke to the woman through the serpent. Now here we find in verse 13, his hand formed the crooked serpent. Where do I want to go first? Let's go to Job 41. We covered this also in the first 2 weeks of this book, the series we started on the first 12 chapters of this book. Job in chapter 40, of course, spoke to us of how God had created the behemoth. Many people try to say that's a hippopotamus. I beg to differ, or some other water animal. The Lord speaks of his tail being like a cedar tree and swiping with power. And a hippopotamus has a very short, spindly tail, so it cannot be the hippopotamus. It's not the alligator or the crocodile, because the description does not fit. The description fits what was called in my day a brontosaurus, and God said, "I created him the day that I created thee." Now in chapter 41, we come to the Leviathan, or the serpent. A Leviathan was a serpent the Bible portrays most of the time as being in the sea with the deep waters. When we spoke of this earlier, we made mention of the so-called Loch Ness Monster, which is seen from time to time, and most think it's a hoax. Most people would tell you there's never been such a thing, but God's Word, which is truth, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, plainly shows that God created a Leviathan. We would call it a dragon in today's time. And for the sake of comparing this creature with Satan, as we do with the serpent, comparing it with Satan, for that was Satan speaking through, or Lucifer speaking through the serpent to Eve in the Garden of Eden. And you've got to remember, at this time in the garden, Adam and Eve dwelt with the animals. There was no fear of man upon the beast of the earth. Everybody, everything, every creature dwelt in perfect harmony and peace. He had everything ate of the herb of the field. There was no death because there was no sin as far as death as punishment. And it's quite possible, although the Bible does not say, that it was not a strange thing to speak to an animal or an animal speak to you, because Eve is standing there speaking with a serpent. There's no surprise indicated in that. That's just something to think about as you set this in your mind. And I want you to lay aside everything you've ever learned from people about the devil. Well, they say Santa Claus lives forever. Well, we know there's no Santa Claus, and we know he doesn't live forever. People say Satan is eternal. Satan is not eternal. Satan is created. God willing, I will prove that before I sit down. Well, he's got horns, red skin, a red tail, and a pitchfork. That's not the Satan. God did not create Satan. Satan means adversary. God created Lucifer, bright and shining. I may confuse the names as I go through here, but remember, God created everything good and upright. Lucifer remains bright and shining, and Satan is the most beautiful creature that God has ever created. He's the most powerful creature that God has ever created. Now, back to that later. He begins in chapter 41 talking about the Leviathan. We'd call it a dragon. He says, can you bind him with a hook? Can you catch him? Can you lay hold on him, this great sea serpent? Makes the point, no man can catch this serpent. No man can catch this Leviathan. We can't catch him. We can't control him. We cannot steer him in any way. We can't change what he is. We live in fear of him, the Leviathan. Now, can you put a hook in his nose? Will he bow to thee, make supplications to thee? Will he make a covenant with thee? Will you take him for a servant? You cannot. The point is made in Scripture that we cannot control Satan, just like we cannot control the Leviathan, the sea monster, the dragon. We cannot control them. We cannot of our own stand without being devoured of him. Remember, the Lord told Peter, Satan has desired to sift thee as wheat, but I, the Son of Man, have prayed for thee. Prayed to the Father for Peter. The point is made of the terror and the mighty power and the armor of this Leviathan, this dragon as we would call it today. He says, the hope of him is in vain. None is so fierce that dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand before me? Who hath prevented me that I should repay him? Whatever is under the whole heaven. He says, who can discover the face of his garment? Who can open the doors of his face? His scales are his pride. His scales are shut up together. His armor, his scales, are shut up so close together they're like a fish's scales. The air cannot get between them. The weapon of a man cannot harm him. We cannot penetrate his scales. He breathes fire. His eyes are gnashings. They shine with fire. And we know the wickedness of Satan and his thoughts and his eyes. This compares this great creature that God created on day number 6 of creation, showing Satan through him, just as it does there in the Garden of Eden. He says, he breathes fire. How does he breathe fire? Well, I told you when we spoke about this, the frog they found in Africa, where one gas would come forth from under his tongue and one gas would come forth from over his tongue. They'd meet outside his mouth and there would be fire. This is the dragon. This is the Leviathan. Job 41, God created him the day God created man, on day number 6, when he created all the beasts of the earth. This is teaching us of that creature, and it is bringing to mind the fierceness of Satan. And in that we need to realize, especially in this day and time, when this nation, and I'm concentrating on the nation, because I'm a Christian and I love the Lord, but I surely realize that God hath given us a free nation. And in spite of what many would tell you today, we need to be thankful for this nation. We need to stand up for this nation. Government will not save this nation. Weapons of war will not save this nation. Only God can save this nation from this mighty creature that we know is Satan, the adversary of God. And the beginning of that is repentance and prayer. But in chapter 27 of Isaiah, we see the Lord prophesying of the Leviathan, of the Satan. Once again, he is comparing Satan, or revealing the work of Satan through the power of this beast that we cannot control, that we cannot conquer, that we dare not appear in the same presence of him or we'd be consumed. He said, in that day, chapter 27, the book of Isaiah, in that day, what day? The day of Christ. The day that Christ, Hebrews chapter 2, would defeat death, and he that had power over death, that is the devil. Christ did not come with an army to destroy Satan. Christ came in the body of a man. He was made flesh for the suffering of the cross. He died upon the cross. He laid his life down, paying the penalty of every child of God for their sinful condition and their sins of commission and omission, and defeated him by bearing our punishment and dying our death, because he laid his life down and he raised it up again. That's the day in question here, or the day in point here. In that day, the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent. Even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. Here the Bible calls him a dragon. Here the Bible also puts him in the sea. That is why I reference him as a sea monster. In that day, sing ye unto her a vineyard of red wine. This is proof of the day being spoken of. This can go to Isaiah 63. Who is this that cometh from Bozrah? With his garments dyed in blood, it's Christ. In that day, sing ye unto her a vineyard of red wine. This is the blood of Christ, a teaching us of the blood of Christ, who would destroy the working of Satan. And we'll get to more of that in a moment when we get to Revelation 20. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, speaking of his kingdom, lest any hurt it, and I will keep it night and day. Now, we've talked about the Leviathan. And we see how God, through the Leviathan, also called a serpent, is talking about Christ and defeating the works of the devil. Let's go to Revelation 20 just to begin a part of explanation of the serpent. Revelation 20. The Lord is beginning. We're going to speak about the serpent. Remember, what God created was good and upright. The word devil and the name Satan refers to the adversary of God. I had a sister ask me, James Creek, Mississippi, 15, 16, 18 years ago, why did God create an adversary? God did not create an adversary. God created a creature, which will be revealed in a moment, a cherub. Cherubs have wings. Seraphims have wings. Angels do not have wings. Angels are not female. Angels in the Bible are each and every single time a male. They're either delivering a message or they're destroying, because that's the purpose. Michael, the warrior, fighting the archangel he is. Gabriel, blowing the gospel trumpet, bringing the message, the good news of Jesus Christ. Gabriel brought the message to Mary, she would conceive and bring forth the Christ child. Revelation 20. He said, I saw an angel come down from heaven. This is speaking of Christ, okay? Having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon. Here's the Leviathan, the dragon. Satan is revealed to us through the Leviathan, his power, his might, his terror, and his hatred of God and God's people. The dragon, that old serpent, where does serpent come from? Genesis chapter 3, the serpent was more subtle. Satan did not come at us in the beginning with swords and armies. Now he does today. Look at Islam. He came at us with words. Matter of fact, one word originally changed from the word of God, thou shalt not surely die, when God said, thou shalt die. That's why we do not take, as a matter of fact, it's in the Constitution of Ebenezer Church, and it's in the law of Ebenezer Church that no man will be allowed in this pulpit with anything other than the King James Bible, because we do not alter the Word of God, period. The New Living Way or some new modern translation will not appear in this stand, especially not while I am here. God help me. And I saw an angel come down from heaven because it changes the Word of God. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great hold on his, a great chain in his hand. This is Christ. And he laid hold on the dragon. There's Leviathan. That old serpent who beguiled Eve in Genesis chapter 3 by perverting the word of God, by changing one single word of God's truth. And bound him 1,000 years. There's a comma. That's not the end of this, but I'm going to take a moment to say this. He bound him a period of time. It's been 2,000 years, the way time is judged, since Christ was in the world. We're going to get on down in this chapter. It says he's going to be loose for a little season. If he's not loose today in the prevalence of evil that we see in wickedness, which is accepted in this world and in this nation, then I do not wish to be here when he is loosed. Enough said. And bound him 1,000 years. That's just a long period of time in which the Son of God would bind Satan. Well, he still kills us. He still persecutes us. Sin still causes sickness and death and disease. How is he then bound? Read the next verse. Christ laid hold on him and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. What did he shut? That mouth which perverts the word of God. That mouth which deceives a child of God. Let me tell you something. A child of God can be led astray by false doctrine. Okay? But when God writes the law of God upon their heart deep inside them, they know the truth, they reveal the truth, they may live their whole life outside the sound of the gospel, outside the church, outside the kingdom of God. But God who writes his law upon their parts reveals that truth to them, and they know him, and they know that he is God. They're not deceived anymore in that sense. And the Gentiles, who he's talking about, and I'll give you that in a moment, and the Gentiles, who at the time Christ is born in the world and were without God in the world, didn't say they weren't God's children. God had a people among the Gentiles from before the foundation of the world. Says they were deceived. They were without God in the world, but the preaching of the gospel had come to the Gentiles. God would place his law within them. He'd write his law on their inward parts. That is Jesus Christ, and they would be deceived no more. Christ cast him in the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations. That means the Gentiles. That doesn't mean Israel and Russia and China and the United States. That rubbish was taught when I was a child. Everybody was running around looking for Russia to rise up and China to rise up and destroy this country. It's not talking about nations of men. It's talking about Gentiles. And it's speaking of the kingdom of God. He cast him in the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon it that he should deceive the nations no more. Satan can deceive you no longer. God hath revealed himself unto you. How do you know God? God reveals himself to you. John 1, no man has seen God at any time, yet the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. How did he declare him? In God placing him within you, in Christ revealing him within you. He has written his law upon your heart. That he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Now, I've made my point here about Leviathan and the Satan. I want you, you can go on down through here, and we'll do it some other time, and have done it, matter of fact, before, right here. Things are going to get worse and worse. Things are going to get evil and evil. The non-elect will never know God. We talked about this yesterday, my brother and I. The natural man, and Michael Goins said this at Vestavia, that's why it was on my mind. The natural man does not have the ability to love anyone other than himself. God is love. If God is there, then a man has the ability to love his wife, his children, his family, the church, the brotherhood. If God is not there, the man can love nothing but himself because he's dead in sin. And if he does do something good that expresses love, it's for the purpose of the own man who loves nothing but himself, not for those around him. But this world is going to grow worse and worse. The devil's going to be loosed. And it's going to get so bad they're going to compass the camp of the saints. And then that will be the final delivery. When fire shall come down from God out of heaven and devour them, and death and hell and Satan, that means death and the grave and Satan, for there will be no more death, shall be cast into the lake of fire, and everyone found in the book of life, God's people, inscribed on the hand of God, I've graven thee on my hand, will inherit heaven and immortal glory. But let's stay with the text of the serpent. I marked this last night. It may have been this morning. This last night. Let's go back to Revelation 12. Now there is an aspect of God delivering his people from the serpent, from the Leviathan, from the dragon, from the bondage of sin and death and the law, and revealing unto them the grace of God and Jesus Christ, who is God manifest in the flesh. Revelation chapter 12. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time in this, just to get to the point. The great wonder in heaven, we see a picture of the church, a woman, the bride of Christ, clothed with the sun. That's the imputed righteousness of Christ. The moon was under her feet because she's exalted above heaven and earth in the presence of God. While we live in this world, the kingdom of God is with us. Upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. Zion, the church, Isaiah 66, brought forth a man child. She brought it forth as soon as she was delivered. She brought forth her son. That is Christ being born. And he came from Zion. Isaiah 66. If I can find it, I'll read it to you quick enough. If not, I'm going to move on. Isaiah 66, verse 6. A voice of noise from the city, Jerusalem, a voice from the temple of God, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. Before, verse 7, before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she, Zion, the bride of Christ, was delivered of a man child. Who? Now, of course, this is of God. It is the work of God, because Isaiah 9, 6 teaches us, unto us a son is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. That's the government of the church. Christ rules the church with a rod of iron. That is the Spirit of God. That's not governments of men. God's not concerned eternally with governments of men. This is the church. Before she was travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who has seen such thing? Shall the earth be more made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Back to Revelation. And she, who is she? Zion. What is Zion? The kingdom of God. Where does Christ stand? In Revelation 14. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion. The three primary mountains in Scripture. Two we find in the Old Testament. We find Horeb, where God called Moses up unto his presence with the bush that burned with fire and was not consumed. And God spoke with him there. And by the way, that was Christ speaking to him, because the only way to see God, the only way to hear God, the only way to know God is in Christ. And then we see Sinai, where God called Moses up and gave him the law. That's a higher peak than Horeb. They're twin peaks together, but Sinai's a little bit higher. This is the highest peak of all. This is the Mount Zion, with the Lamb of God, who was slain and resurrected, and rules and reigns over the children of God. This woman, she being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. There appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. Here's the Leviathan. Here is Satan, as Scripture reveals him through the dragon, having seven heads and ten horns. The seven heads with the and ten horns represent Rome in that day. We can prove that in Daniel. Today is not the day. And seven crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, the Levitical priesthood, and did cast into the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Did Herod not slay the firstborn of Egypt from 2 years old and under? Now you know why. Because Satan, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. But God provided. And she brought forth a man-child who's to rule all nations, Gentiles. Gentiles, that's what it's speaking of, with a rod of iron. And her child, Christ, was caught up unto God and to his throne. Now this is the point I'm wanting to get to. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that is the church of the living God, that is where you are today, that where they should feed her there 1,260 days. Again, that's a figure of time. I'm not smart enough to tell you how long that is, but I'll tell you that God prepared us a place. It's the kingdom of God. It's the church of God. You're fed. You're fed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your soul is fed. You have knowledge and you have peace in the Son of God and his finished work. And there was war in heaven. This is not a coming war. We're not going to be up there with spaceships, as I've heard people say, shooting missiles at the Lord and at the devil. That's just foolishness in the mind of natural man. Do not be carried away with such rubbish. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, Satan, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Satan prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. Now you remember where Jesus said, I beheld Satan as fire fall from heaven, as lightning fall from heaven. We're going to get back over to Genesis when we get back there in chapter 3, and you're going to see Satan is ejected. He's put out of Eden. We're going to see, we just read there in chapter 20 of Revelation, we're reading here now, where Satan is defeated in the death, burial, and resurrection of the very Son of God, and he's put out of the kingdom of God. Where is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is within you. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That doesn't mean you're not going to suffer persecution. It means that God hath given you the knowledge of His Son, Jesus Christ. Remember that you'd be deceived no more. If we walk in ungodliness and we live around ungodliness, then we're going to lean more to it. There's no saying amongst Polish, you walk through this garbage long enough, it's going to get on you, and it does. We're to flee these things. We'll get into some of that with Eve. Well, there was war in heaven. People talk about coming Armageddon, Revelation 16. Revelation was on the cross of Christ, and I can prove that to you by Scripture. But here's the point. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. Who? The devil and his angels. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, there were angels that left their first habitation. Jude chapter 1, there's only one. I'm not going to pull Philip and tell you Jude 2. It's Jude, the book of Jude, verse 6, speaking of the judgment of God and the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. He hath reserved an everlasting change. That means in hell, under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2. Let me see if I can find that quickly. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, you want proof they're in hell, this is it, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. There were angels that rebelled with Satan against God. Why did the other angels not rebel? Because they are elect angels and God kept them from that. Go back to 12. And they were cast out. God opened your eyes. God opened your ears. God gave you a heart of flesh. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, this is the preaching of the gospel. Now is come salvation. What did Jesus say in John chapter 5? The hour is coming and now is when the dead in trespass and sin shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And they that hear shall live. That's speaking of the quickening of the spirit. Proof of that, a few verses later, he talks about the resurrection of the body and the general judgment. Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. Hallelujah. The Son of God, the Word of God, the power of God, the wisdom of God. Now listen to this. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. We're going back to Genesis sooner or later. Satan is going to cause the fall. And you'll understand, if God will bless me when we get there, why he's going to cause the fall. He's going to make an effort in vain to say, Lord, you have failed. These people are sin. They are sinners. He will accuse them before God day and night. Read the next verse. Well, first part of this verse, he's cast down. The accuser is cast down. Where? To hell. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, Christ, and by the word of their testimony, they loved not their lives unto death. Now, we go on down finishing this chapter. I'm not going to take the time to go through it all today, but you're going to find the woman has two wings given of God that she might fly into her place where she is nourished. That's the kingdom of God. That's the preaching of the gospel. And verse 17 plainly tells us the dragon, Satan, is wroth with the woman because he knows that he has just a short time before this world is ended and he will be put in eternal hell forever in torment and punishment, back to Revelation 20, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Satan afflicts the children of God in the kingdom of God. That is why we suffer so. About time to go. I tell you what, I'm going to go to Isaiah first. Isaiah 14. Now this is dealing with people and a time. But it is showing us, and God plainly manifests that in verse 12 of Isaiah 14, Lucifer. He says in verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Satan, Lucifer, has never been in eternal heaven. I can prove that to you, and I will in a moment. He was created in this world. He was in the Garden of Eden for a purpose. I will tell you that in a moment, Lord willing. But he's talking about Lucifer, the bright and shining. That's what the name means. The most beautiful creature that God ever created. And when you understand his purpose as created of God, you will know why. And the most powerful creature that God ever created. And you will know why. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Satan is called the son of the morning. He's bright and shining like the light of the day. How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations, Gentiles? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. That tells me he's never been there. If he says, I will ascend there. He was created in the world. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. This is what Satan is saying in himself. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Remember the clouds placed in the atmosphere of the first heaven? Satan said, in all the pristine beauty which God created, and God created things in order, and all that was created before Satan. Some people think Satan was created or Lucifer was created on day one because that's when God created the heavens. Well, he's never been in the heavens. That proves this here. I will ascend in the heavens. Some people think it was on day two. I don't know when it was. If it was meant for us to know, the Bible would reveal it. God kept this book. God keeps this book today. And while we're talking about that, the King James Bible was given to an English-speaking people in 1611. It is the pure Word of God, translated not by religious men who want to put their flavor on religion as they do as they write books in this day and time. It was written by men who were religious scholars. The penalty for blasphemy was death. If you change the word of God, it was blasphemy. That was the national penalty for blasphemy. Not only was it translated by religious scholars, but by English scholars of the King's language as they diligently compared and translated. And that this book is as close as we, as English-speaking people, will ever get to what God penned by those holy men of God. Now, Satan said, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Do you see the vanity in creation and seeing what all is there and all the pristine beauty? Especially, this world is beautiful. I love to sit on a mountaintop somewhere and go to sleep with a cup of coffee and a fire and get up the next morning, if I can still do it, and see the sun come up and see the pristine beauty of creation and what God has laid out for us and why we live here in this world and given us dominion over. But I cannot even begin to imagine the beauty of creation and what God made on those first 6 days when there was no sin. And in all that, in all the beauty, we'll read about Lucifer in a moment, how beautiful. And the vanity. What does Romans 8 say? The creature is made subject to vanity. Not willingly, but by reason of him who is subjected the same in hope. Some people lay that to the new birth, and I will too, but I go back to Genesis with it also. Adam was vain. Creature was made subject to vanity. By vanity, he wanted to be as God, knowing good and evil. God's, little G-S. Satan says, Lucifer says, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Do we begin to understand the danger of false doctrine? This country rocks right along with one Baptist church by the grace of God and a man named John Leland. Study him. that came on along, and we had one Baptist church. It was one Baptist church. The country was blessed. We weren't the most mighty nation in the world, but we were blessed and kept of God, and we worshiped God. We didn't have electricity in every house. We didn't even have electricity. We didn't have all the pleasures we have today, but we were a nation of people who worked hard and loved God and feared God. And about 1830, there was a lie came through this land, but two men, John Carey was one of them, and I believe Fuller was the other's man. And when they changed the doctrine of God, and people accepted it, this country has gone downhill since. We had a civil war, our punishment for slaves. We've had government that's corrupted and still is today. Marriage is almost a thing of the past. Ungodliness called good and godliness called bad. You see the importance of two doctrines. Don't tell me I'm supposed to hold hands with somebody that teaches lies or false doctrine. That's not the Bible way. That's not the way God did it. Come out from among them. Be ye separate. Pray for them. Work with them. And by the way, you're not going to convince anybody they're in error if you go tell them, you're wrong and I'm right. What did Paul do? Paul went in preaching the gospel and teaching them of Jesus Christ. Peradventure, God would grant them repentance. Kindness, mercy, love, it works every time. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Satan is a creature created. He will never be God. And he is nothing beneath God. As it weren't for the Lord Jesus Christ, he'd sift us as wheat. You can take that to the bank. Yet thou, this is what God says to Satan, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Now, let's go to Ezekiel 28. And let's talk about how God created Lucifer. Again, this text is dealing with the prince of Tyrus, Tyre. Tyre is a city off the coast of Israel. It is a place where the king at some times was at peace with Israel when it benefited him. Does that sound like the natural man? And through, and many times, enemies with Israel. Tyre and Zidon were both, and both of them are dealt with in this few chapters. But my point is, Tyre is teaching us how Satan is, and you'll see who he's talking about in verse 13. Because through Tyre, much like New Orleans, it was a port city, the goods of the world came into Israel, corrupting the children of Israel and leading them into idolatry. Satan is how the goods of the world or the things of the world come into our heart and lead us into sin and idolatry. But Christ has delivered us from that. Verse 11, Ezekiel 28. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, that's Ezekiel, take up a lamentation, a great sorrow, upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God. This is Satan. Thou sealest up the sum. This is the greatest creature God created. Full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Satan's not the ugly creature with the pitchfork and the pointed tail and the horns. He was full of the wisdom of God and perfect in beauty. Lucifer, bright, shining, beautiful to behold. As I read this, I thought about Herod when he was giving an oration to the Jews and the sun came through and hit his clothing, which was shiny and the sun glittered off of it. And they said, he is a god. And he refused to rebut that and he was bread worms, and he died. You see the wrath of God. Let's go back to the text. Thou hast been in Eden. Who is in Eden? Of course, the Lord. Adam, Eve, the serpent. to whom Satan would speak through. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Listen to the beauty. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship, there's his beauty, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes, his voice to praise God was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Satan is created. He is not eternal. God created him. God has power over him. He's created in this world. Thou wast in Eden, the garden of God. Where was he created? In Eden. But he's cast out into the world. Revelation 12. Here's Satan. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I, God, have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Let me spend these last 10 minutes. Let me go back to cherub. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. If we go back to Genesis chapter 3, we're going to find that when God drove man from the garden, that God placed at the east of the garden cherubs with flaming swords of fire to keep man out of the Eden. A cherub, he's there to guard the tree of life, to guard the treasure of God. Exodus 25, we will find the instruction to construct the mercy seat upon the ark. It would be overlaid in pure gold. We cannot form pure gold. It's too soft. We must put an alloy in it. God formed pure gold. That represents the pure righteousness of Jesus Christ. In that ark, there would be placed the testament that God would write upon the stones with his finger, the law of God, the testimony of God, and Aaron's rod that budded, and an omer of the manna in which God would feed them. Upon the top, above the ark, there would be a top, a covering with pure gold. And upon each end, there would be, what are we talking about? Cherubs. I'm making a point of a cherub. With their wings outstretched. A cherub guards the treasure of God. What is represented in that ark is God's mercy and His grace in Jesus Christ, the testimony of God, the eternal purpose of God, and God's blessing upon them, and the manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and guarding over that are the cherubs. A cherub guards the treasure of God. Satan is the anointed cherub that covereth. Covereth what? The seed of God, the children of God in the beginning. Yet he in vanity raised up against God, the non-elect angels followed him, desiring to be as God. Now, those two cherubs look one toward another, and God would appear between them in a thick cloud, for we cannot look upon God's glory. But those two cherubs faced each other because their work agreed. One represents the Son of God, one represents the Son of Man, and that is our true cherub, Christ. Ezekiel 1, we have a picture of a cherub. I don't have time to get all into this, but I'm going to mention it briefly and you can think about it. They're in captivity because of their leaders. They've been conquered. They're by the river Chebar. The word of the Lord, verse 3, came expressly to Ezekiel. This goes back to John 5, the Son of Man quickeneth whom he will. God gives life to whom he pleases when he pleases. We have nothing to do with that. That's the work of God, and it's all in Christ. God came to Ezekiel for God's very own purpose. Verse 4, speaking of the cherubim, I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself. This whirlwind, you picture a tornado of fire, but it's not like a fire that we build. It does not burn from the inside out. It keeps burning within and within, within. This is eternal. It never burns out. It is the glory of God. It is Christ. And a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof is the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. I want to make a point with this. And also out of the midst thereof, because this is a cherub. This is our cherub. This is Christ. And out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living. Our God is alive. Christ is alive. That's why we have a living hope, because Christ has come forth from the dead. 1 Peter chapter 1, begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. There is the Son of Man. And everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings. Angels do not have wings. Cherubs have wings. And their feet were straight feet, because He came into the world to do the Father's will, and He went straight to that and nothing else. And the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. Tender, gentle. Christ was gentle to us. Tender, loving His people. And they sparkle like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings. They're lifted up in the Spirit of God. The wings, they're lifted up. The hands of a man, the work of Christ, the Son of Man. And they four had their faces and their wings. And their wings were joined one to another, because of God's work is together. They turned not when they went. They went straight forward, straight to the work of God. This is the picture of Christ, our cherub. He guards His treasure. As for the likeness of their faces, here's my point. The four had the face of a man, there's the Son of Man. And the face of a lion, there's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And upon the right side, and the four had the face of an ox carries the load. Christ carried the load. On the left side, the four also had the face of an eagle. An eagle sees far off, he's lifted high. God said in Isaiah 45, declaring the end from the beginning. God saw the end from the beginning. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of stones of fire. That's the jewels of God, His people. Going back to what Satan was originally to be. Before he rebelled against God, thou was perfect in thy ways. Did you catch that? This is the Bible. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created. He's created of God. Till iniquity was found in thee. Here's why he sinned. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. He was cast out of Eden. He was cast out of you in the kingdom of God. He was cast off Mount Zion, as Christ stands on it in Revelation 14, and He will be cast into the lake of fire, Revelation 20, and tormented forever. And here's what caused it. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness, and all this was given of God to him. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Satan is created. All things are created. God made everything good and upright. The vanity of Satan and the beauty that God created him placed him as the most powerful and beautiful creature that He ever created. Yet God has power over him. Don't you ever fear. That's why the Lord said, fear not him that can kill the body, Satan, but fear him which can cast both body and soul in hell. That's God, but there won't be a child of God taste the fire of hell. But my point is, you see Satan, you see the truth, Lucifer, vanity, the fall, what he is, who's got control over him. But when we come back to this, you'll have a better understanding of Eve being beguiled through the subtlety of Satan in the serpent and of Adam's fall.